Chapter 3.
Awful old woman, said Griselda when the ladies had gone. Len, do you really think I am having a romance with Lawrence Redding?
No, of course not. But I do wish you would be more careful in what you say.
Lawrence never even tries to kiss me, she said. I can't understand why.
He knows that you're a married woman. You don't want him to kiss you, do you?
Not really, said Griselda. If he's in love with Lettice Prothero...
Miss Marple didn't think he was.
Miss Marple may be wrong.
She never is. Griselda paused, then said,
You do believe me, don't you? When I say there's nothing between Lawrence and me.
My dear, I said, of course.
Dear Len,
my wife kissed me.
You'd believe me, whatever I said, wouldn't you?
And then she left the room. There were very few people that evening at the Wednesday church service, but afterwards, as I left, I saw a woman standing and looking up at one of our coloured glass windows. It was Mrs. Lestrange.
These windows are beautiful, she said.
We walked down the road, which went past her house. When we reached her gate, she said,
Please, come in and tell me what you think of my new home.
It was arranged very simply, but perfectly. And I wondered what had made Mrs. Lestrange come to St. Mary Mead. It seemed odd for such a cultured woman to be living in a small country village. She was a very tall woman. Her hair was red gold, and her makeup was perfect. She also had the most unusual eyes I have ever seen, for they were almost golden too. While we talked about pictures, books, and old churches, I felt that Mrs. Lestrange really wanted to talk to me about something else. When I left to go home, I looked back and saw her watching me with an anxious expression. If there is anything I can do, I said.
It's very kind of you, she replied. It's difficult. No, I don't think anyone can help me.
I returned to the vicarage by the garden gate. As I closed it, I suddenly decided to go down to our shed, which Lawrence Redding was using as a studio, to look at Griselda's picture while no one was there. I opened the door and then stopped. There was a man and a woman in the studio. The man's arms were round the woman and he was kissing her. The two people were Lawrence Redding and Mrs. Prothero. I backed out and walked quickly to my study. The discovery was a great shock to me. Suddenly, there was a knock on the glass door. I got up to open it, and Mrs. Prothero came straight in. The quiet, controlled woman had disappeared. Instead, I was looking at a quick-breathing, desperate creature. For the first time, I realized that Anne Prothero was beautiful. She had brown hair, a pale face, and very deep grey eyes.
You saw just now, she said.
Yes.
We love each other.
I said nothing.
I suppose to you, that is very wrong.
You are a married woman.
Oh, do you think I haven't thought about that again and again? I'm not a bad woman. I just don't know what to do. I'm so unhappy. No woman could be happy with my husband. I wish he was dead. That's awful, but I do.
I said the things to her that it was my duty to say, remembering all the time how that morning I had said that a world without Colonel Protheroe would be a better place. When she left, she thanked me. But I felt worried, because I now knew that Anne Protheroe was the kind of woman who would stop at nothing when her emotions took control. And she was madly in love with Lawrence Redding.